there, Amber? What's that? Oh, we're trying to get back. We're all discombobulated. It is the Crowcast. I am Carell, freshly back from a vacation and just all discombobulated, just trying desperately to not be out of sorts. And yet here I am, out of sorts, because I've been gone for a blessed week off of radio. And I haven't needed to talk about or care about or look at pretty much anything in the news. Although there was a lot that we couldn't avoid, as you know. However, that being said, it was refreshing. It was wonderful. I highly recommend you all do it. And please, if you can. Because I know that in America, you can't. Some of you in America, you simply cannot get away for even a week. And that's really horribly sad to me, that you can't even get away for a week. But here I am, having been away for a week, and as you can see, the whole studio has changed. Everything around me has changed. The lighting has changed. Everything has changed. Everything is totally different. So I'm very askew at the moment. Now, I talked to Steve Cabral this morning about this. Let me move my chair, because I'm going to try to stand for the whole show. I talked to Stephen Cabral about this morning. One thing I did not want to do when I came back is basically just talk about the same old stuff. Having this staycation really made me think, you know, this political climate that we're in is really just too depressing. And you can't really talk about it without getting thoroughly and utterly depressed. I realized that by not paying attention to it for a week, basically. And I thought to myself, there's a lot wrong with our country, and there's a lot that I'm not going to be able to fix, and there's a lot that I'm kind of going to have to let go, you know? For instance, one thing I did want to talk about this morning, I don't want to get sad to start things off, but it really is annoying to me how we as a people, and I don't mean you individually, okay? I don't. I mean we as a people are sort of letting America go into that long day's journey into night without very much of a ruckus. And we see it happening and we hear it happening in front of us. And there's not much in that camera angle, by the way. Isn't that just the bee's knees? If you're watching the Carell cast at any time at reallycarell.com or at facebook.com reallycarell, I've done split screens. I've done a lot. And thank you all for watching. I did it all for you. Cherokee, the one person that watches every day, I did it for her. But anyway, there's an Australian reporter, okay? And this guy was just being matter of fact, okay? He wasn't trying to be sensational. He wasn't trying to be, how do I say this? He wasn't looking for a reason to be overly critical of Donald Trump. But as he did things like let, you know, Ivanka sit in for him with world leaders, with, you know, I mean, just so insulting. But as he did that over the G20 summit, as it was supposed to be called, all I could think was, they're using terms in other countries now, okay? They're talking about us in other countries now in a way that should be very upsetting to not only us, okay? And this is where my problem is coming in. This is not something we really can do something about, okay? This is something that Congress is supposed to do something about. Okay, we can't go up and remove the president. I mean, even if we wanted to, we can't, unless the Second Amendment has really took that to heart. But, you know, we can't go up and remove the president. What we can do is have Congress remove the president for us. But they kind of refuse. So this Australian at ABC News in Australia, this Australian reporter, he gave his report about the G19, the G20. And here's what he had to say, and I have to tell you, when you hear this, you should be as sad as I am.
What we already knew, Barry, that the President of the United States has a particular skill set, that he's identified an illness in Western democracies, but he has no cure for it and seems intent on exploiting it. And we've also learned that he has no desire and no capacity to lead the world.
Oh, God.
The G20 became the G19 as it ended. On the Paris Climate Accords, the US was left isolated and friendless. But given that that was always going to happen, a deft president would have found an issue around which he could rally most of the leaders. And he had the perfect one, North Korea's missile tests. So where was the G20 statement condemning North Korea, which would have put pressure on China and Russia? Other leaders expected it. They were prepared to back it, but it never came. There's a tendency among some hopeful souls to confuse the speeches written for Trump with the thoughts of the man himself. He did make some interesting scripted observations in Poland about defending the values of the West, and he's in a unique position. He's the one man who has the power to do something about it. But it's the unscripted Trump that's real, a man who barks out bile in 140 characters, who wastes his precious days as president at war with the West's institutions like the judiciary, independent government agencies, and the free press. He was an uneasy, lonely, awkward figure at this gathering, and you got the strong sense that some of the leaders are trying to find the best way to work around him. Donald Trump's a man who craves power because it burnishes his celebrity. To be constantly talking and talked about is all that really matters, and there is no value placed on the meaning of words, so what's said one day can be discarded the next. So what did we learn? We learned that Donald Trump has pressed fast forward on the decline of the United States as a global leader. He managed to isolate his nation, to confuse and alienate his allies, and to diminish America. He will cede that power to China and Russia, two authoritarian states that will forge a very different set of rules for the 21st century. Some will cheer the decline of America, but I think we'll miss it when it's gone. And that's the biggest threat to the values of the West, which he claims to hold so dear.
Wow. I'm left sent kind of speechless after that. The multiples of things that he says. It was an obituary, actually. Donald Trump hit fast forward on the decline of the United States as a superpower. The United States is now alone. It was the G19 and not the G20. People, I don't know about you, okay? And I'm being 1,000% serious here. But I don't really like to hear the obituary of the United States of America. I don't. And I think it's horrific. I think it's, you know, the fact that we just heard the obituary of the United States of America is stunning to me. And it's lost on those that need to hear it most. You know, and that's my problem. This statement here, okay, is lost on those that need to hear it. The rest of the world knows this now. They know that we're on the decline. There's blood in the water. As he spoke about China and Russia. Okay, so we're on the decline. And this Australian news reporter who can't be picked apart by Donald Trump has zero skin in the game, and he sat here and gave us this obituary. Okay? Gave us this, it was nice while it lasted, but goodbye, United States. Now, it's one thing to have me say it. Okay, it's one thing to hear it on the Carell cast, and Carell is going off again about the decline of the United States. This is an Australian reporter, okay, saying things about our demise. Our demise. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like that. That makes me uneasy. That makes me sad. You know, it makes me feel like, how do I say this? Like the rest of my life, if I'm forced to stay in the United States, I can't care about the United States anymore because it's gone. That's what it makes me feel like, okay? And that's sad because I want to care about the country that I live in. I think you do too. I think we all kind of want to care about the country that we live in. And this is basically saying caring about the United States now is useless because it's done. And this Australian reporter, I mean, could we go back through and vivisect every sentence and how horrific some of the things he said, you know, are? Yep. Is he telling you or I anything that we don't know? No. Are the people that need to hear it ever going to hear it? Unfortunately not. So as I come back from vacation, staycation, with my studio up to speed and my desk, I had to build something underneath it to actually make my little pull-out keyboard. How do I say this? Pull-out keyboard tray, I guess? It's not really a tray, but keyboard pull-out whatever. I actually had to modify the desk with 2x4s and all kinds of stuff and wood screws and drilling and pre-drilling. I don't know. It sounded dirty either way. But something. I was pre-holing, pre-drilling. I was pre-doing everything except I don't do that. Never did. I can't understand guys that do. Turn that off. Anyway, sorry. So I've got this pull-out thing here and this original desk potato, it's called. It's a thing to put my mouse on. And so I did all of that during my staycation and I just tuned out. And then I tuned back in and I thought, holy crap, a Rooney on a stick. You know, holy crap, a Rooney on a stick. So that happens, the G20. And then he, you know, alienates us and the whole, all the news, you know, Ivanka sitting in for him. All this horrible stuff happens, right? So then I'm gearing up for Monday because, you know, the show is coming and I'm gearing up for Monday. And what do we get? We get his son boasting about treason. We get his son saying, yes, I met with a Russian lawyer to get disparaging information about Hillary Rodham Clinton so we could win the election. Yes, I did that. That's treason. And again, why won't Americans care about what that is? That's treason. Okay? So I'm not understanding why Americans aren't caring more, I guess. That's my issue. This includes Democrats. Especially Democrats, who are sitting around and they're not really caring. They're acting outraged to raise money. I'm sorry, but every time the Republicans do something evil, I get an email from Donna Brazile or from Joe Biden or from Michelle Obama or from whoever saying, give us $5 because this Republican's done something evil. Why? We've given you billions over the last 40, 50 years, and look what we've gotten. You are not protecting us from this tyrant. You are not shutting him down. You are not stopping his policies. You are not letting the rest of the world know that this isn't us. Our governor of California got criticism for flying to the G20 and letting the G19 know that we're not on board with Trump's climate change. God, this is really a mess. All right, when we come back, are you old?
If I need it in the morning or the afternoon, I ain't too proud to beg, and I'm not, honey. I need your support all day, every day at Patreon. How about giving us $5 a month to support the show? Just go to reallycorrell.com and click on the patron logo right there.
It's a real song.
Try to reach some harmony now.
Please. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell. And for those of you wondering, why is Carell sweating? He redid his studio and everything. Well, unfortunately, I got double the light, 600 watts, and they're roasting me. And not that horribly, but it's also terrible outside still. It's muggy and hot. It's 82 degrees. The humidity's at 45%. Ick. Just ick. Can we talk a little global warming? Over the weekend, Los Angeles broke its 100-plus record, 131-year record. Long Beach broke its 110-year record over the weekend. It was horribly hot everywhere. And as this was, see, this is my problem. As we were sitting here breaking these temperature gates, right? Los Angeles, Long Beach, the Bay Area. As we're all breaking these temperatures, our president's sitting alone at the G20 talking about how climate change isn't a real thing. And see, that's an issue. That is a very real issue. Because you and I are sitting in it, okay, dripping, svetzing. I don't know about you, I am. I'm svetzing right now, and it's the humidity. My studio isn't that hot right now. It's the humidity. And the president believes this ain't real, that this isn't nothing, that this isn't different, that Long Beach and L.A. are just going. It is different. When you break a 130-year record almost every year now, you're breaking the record, you know, or some new record of some kind. That's real. And it's frustrating for you, and it's frustrating for me to see him ignoring this. It's completely frustrating. And so, what do we do about it? I don't know. You and I cannot impeach him. We can't. You and I cannot impeach the President of the United States. Congress must. And they won't. And the Democrats are acting like powerless deer in the headlights. Oh, we don't have the majority, so we can't really do anything. Really? Really? That's how we're going to be? Well, until you give us the majority, we can't do anything. So, okay. So basically, we're powerless? That's it? Who knew that the founders crafted such a horrible document that if the Democrats didn't have a majority in the House or Senate, that the president could just run willy-nilly and do whatever? Who knew? I mean that. Who would have ever imagined that the founders didn't take that into account? Oh, wait, they did. They just assumed that the Congress would do something. Well, they're not. They also assumed that Republicans wouldn't completely toe their party's line, or Democrats. But they are. So we have a Congress that's not protecting us from this man. We have a world that's laughing at him and making, you know, it's sad what happened over the weekend. For a reporter to say the United States is no longer a world player, that the G19 is now the G20 is now the G19, and for that to become the headline across the globe, if you think that helps us in any way, if you think a picture of Ivanka sitting there helps us in any way, then you're too stupid to be an American. And I really want to start saying that to people. I said it to people. I told you about my dog. Maybe I was on vacation. I took Ember to the dog park, and there were Trump supporters there. And first, Ember wanted to bite them. But second of all, I couldn't take it. I literally wanted to hit them. And I mean that. I wanted to do violence against them. I wanted to throw dirt in their faces. I wanted to say, it is because of you I am losing my country. You know, I really felt like chasing them out of the dog park. So I did, but with words. I was louder, and I was more factual, and I wouldn't stop. And so they left. And people are like, well, you were kind of rude to them to make them leave. I said, why weren't you? They're traitors. Well, that's kind of hard. Everyone's entitled to their vote and to their opinion. No. No, the Germans weren't entitled to vote for Hitler. I'm sorry. They weren't. No one will say that, but I'll say it. No one was entitled to vote for Hitler, no matter how disenfranchised or horrible you felt. It wasn't something that you were allowed to do as a human being. The same thing for Donald Trump. I don't care how disenfranchised, broke, or white that you feel. That didn't give you the right to put this person in office. I'm sorry. That's not covered under freedom. So now we're stuck with him. He embarrassed us again over the weekend. His son has now admittedly committed treason, and no one will really do anything about it, probably. And we are going to go on now week after week after week of hearing of Trump atrocities. And I, for one, am done with them. I'm done. Until the Congress chooses to do something about it, I say we all move on. Just, you know, whatever. When we come back, we're going to talk a move-on topic. I feel old. I'm not. I'm looking good. I'm a little sweaty because it's horrible, and the weather is horrible right now. Even my little air conditioner just can't. It's not a match for 100 degrees with humidity. Right now, according to AccuWeather, it's 81 in Long Beach, but feels like 93. That's what it says. It says 81 feels like 93, and that's because of the humidity. Oh, it's a dry heat in Vegas. Yes, I'm still thinking of Vegas. I am. If any of you have any hookups out there, I really think one of those high-rise condo places should give me half off my condo. Like if the condo's $300, they should sell it to me for $150, because every day I'll be saying, coming to you live from Jewel Las Vegas, like I do here from Park Howard in Long Beach, and that's great promotion for a promoter in Las Vegas or for a home builder or whatever, where every day their name goes out. So I think one of them, like one of the home builders or something, should give me half off my house. You think that's an impossible deal to strike? It's not. We're looking into it. When we come back, why I feel really old today. But it's a good thing, but still. You know, it's not just for anniversaries or weddings. Lennox and Lennox dishware, I use the tea sets every single day. Why not give yourself the gift of beautiful dishware, just like they used at the White House? The first American-made dishware was Lennox. Go to Lennox.com. Baby loves! I loved y'all. Mwah, blowing your kisses. I missed you. I had a great time with Ember, though. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell, and there's a commercial. Are you becoming your mother or your father? Well, this morning I had one of those I'm getting old moments. And I asked on Skype if some of you would call me at 213-985-3527. 213-985-3527. I asked if you would call me and leave me your message about, like, I knew I was old when. I don't know if I got any calls. I'm launching the Skype for the first time right now. But let me tell you what brought this up to me, because aging and mortality is one of the biggest issues facing America. We fight it tooth and nail. You know, the cosmetic industry is proof of that. The healthcare industry is proof of that. We don't want to age. And if we do age, we want to do so painlessly, gracefully, and that's that. So aging and mortality, it is a big, big issue. For me, for you, here comes the Skype. There's the Skype. We'll see if anybody did call in. So this morning, I was texting my niece, Heather McGrath, up in Seattle. And I said, Heather, you and your fiancé, Emily, need to get me a list of what you want for Christmas today, because tomorrow is Amazon Prime Day. And Amazon Prime Day is a totally made-up day in July for people to spend money on Amazon. I am going to do it, because there's going to be some great deals. Like Alexa, their voice-activated thing is going to be $75 tomorrow. That's a big deal. Okay, so I said, Heather, send me this list, okay? And I realized that I am a Christmas Eve shopper up until this moment, right? I am that guy. Oh, my God. I remember when I asked at Christmas with Andrew. I was out shopping on Christmas Eve, and I was so frazzled when I got home. I was in such a bad mood. And he and Emily Johnson, my friend, were drinking Veuve Cloquet and dancing around the house to show tunes. And I just wasn't having it. I was, oh, my God. I was upset, and I was very crabby. And they were just so happy. Tra-la-la-la-la. They had finished their shopping. Oh, I wanted to rip their guts out. And Merry Christmas, my ass. I wanted to just axe murder them right then. But still, I am that Christmas Eve shopper, and I come up on Christmas Eve with a lot of great ideas for gifts, but then I can't get them because, you know, it's pretty much over. So, with Amazon Prime Day being tomorrow, I thought, I am going to buy Christmas presents tomorrow, July 11th. I'm going to actually do some Christmas shopping. And then suddenly, I realized I am as old as dirt, because I am now stunned. Remember those people who used to have all... Remember when you would be around those old people? Those old people, you'd go to their houses, grandparents, whatever. You'd go up to the old people, and they'd be like, what's in the closet? Oh, it's all the Christmas presents, but it's only July. Oh, yeah, I like to shop early. And you would think, these mofos are crazy, okay? This person is crazy. Old people are crazy. How many of you used to think that? Old people are crazy. And then one day, bam, you wake up, you're an old person. So this morning, I was shopping, or planning to shop even, which is even weirder. I was planning to shop on Amazon tomorrow. So I was asking people for lists today of things that they want. And I just thought, oh my God, you're old. You're just old. Now, I did ask for some of you to call me at 213-985-3527, but a lot of you didn't seem to call me. I don't know who, like, someone called me 13 times on Friday. Who? Why would someone call 13 times on one day? As a bill collector or so? What? I got to hear this.
Bob,
who called?
Carell, I sure hope I have the right number, because if not, this will be a catastrophe. I mean, I left all these messages for...
Oh, yeah, well, 13 of them. You left all these messages. You did, 13. I'll have to go through them and listen. At 2:20 a.m., 2:22 a.m., 2:36 a.m., I appreciate whenever you're listening to me. And I say you can call at all hours. So I guess if you're listening to me at 2:22 a.m., you go right ahead. Give me a call. However, none of you called me today. I put the call out and I said, look, you know you're old when... Okay, you know you're old when. And I guess you guys didn't want to face your mortality. I think that's it, really. Y'all don't want to face your mortality. You don't want to face when you're old. You just don't. You know, because I don't mind it in some ways. Do you? Like the ways about, like, how do I say this? The I don't give a crap ways. How many of you now like that you're old enough to not give a crap about certain things? How many of you like that? Raise your hand, even if your hand is blurry because the camera is blurry. Raise your hand. This last Friday night, I was sitting around and I wasn't going anywhere or doing anything. And I thought, how absolutely pathetic. It is Friday night of a holiday weekend, and what are you doing? Not a damn thing. And I thought, and you don't care. You don't care. You are going to turn on Genius, which I watched all of and I loved. It's on Nat Geo, the story of Albert Einstein. It's wonderful. It's needed for our times. God, it praises intellect. Isn't that something? A time when we actually... I loved that show more than anything because it praised academia, you know? Everything about it was in honor of academia, that one of the noblest pursuits you could have would be academia. You know, it praised academia. And I thought, wow, that's pretty marvelous when you praise academia. And, you know, they showed a time where people valued professors and valued knowledge. And yes, people fought about new ideas and villainized others that had them. Absolutely. That's not new. However, people would walk up to Einstein and ask for his autograph. Can you think today, and I guess Stephen Hawking, he couldn't sign anything. Here, could you drool on that? Oh, I'm sorry. But, you know, hey, you could have a photo of him and say, that's his drool right there. He drooled. I couldn't get him to sign, but I did get him to drool. I know I'll be struck down one day. I know. But anyway, I guess he's our most famous scientist, right? Stephen Hawking? He is the Einstein of our time? Isn't he? I guess he is. So you know you're getting old. When you do things like Christmas shop in July, okay? You know you're getting old when you don't care anymore about what you say to people. You know, I used to be told to have a filter, that it was better on radio to have a filter. Now, that's impossible for me. I can't have a filter because I've gone from I shouldn't say that to let's just say it and see what happens. That's what being old has done for me. Now I don't say you probably shouldn't say that, Carell. I say let's say it and see what happens. Because I'm older, and I could care less nowadays. I don't care what you guys think of me because I called Donald Trump's son a traitor. He is a traitor. You know, I'm one of these people that I don't care if it's the truth. If I'm saying something that's the truth, and y'all need to actually, you can agree or disagree with me, I don't care, but to hold it against me because I'm speaking the truth would be a wrong thing. That's another thing when you get older. You don't have time to suffer the fools. How many of you just can't suffer fools anymore? How many of you know what that means? Let me go over to my website, reallycarell.com. Why aren't you all watching more of the video? Do you want to hear something that how do I announce this without sounding A, petty, and B, hurt, that only 450 people have watched Stronger Together, the video, at a time where we need peace and harmony, at a time where these horrible videos of people saying horrible things and racist, homophobic songs, racist, homophobic videos, they go viral. Millions watch them. But here's a video with a positive message from a group of friends, and 440 people have taken the time to watch it. And I thank you all for doing that. But really? Really? I know how many of you download my show every day. You can't be bothered to go to my website and watch my video? Then why do you listen to me? I mean, really, no offense, but if you're listening to me right now and you haven't watched the Stronger Together video at reallycarell.com, why do you listen to me? Why? You obviously are not interested in supporting me. You probably don't subscribe on Patreon either. You know, it's like, so okay, I'll give you the show for free. I'll give you the music for free. At least consume it. God. No offense. I know that sounds like I'm hurt. And I am a little hurt. I mean, I do have more view. I mean, I hope I do this per day for more than 450 people. Well, I know I do. I have the numbers. So it's just sad. I can't even get y'all to watch a video. I feel that depressed me. I did. Over my holiday, that kind of depressed me. And it wasn't that you guys aren't watching. It was that these horrible hate-filled things can go so viral. Because someone sent me this church that did some homophobic song, and they said, oh, you should tweet your video in response to this song. And I go, I am. But no one wants to watch something positive. And that's, you know, that's what I'm finding with the song Stronger Together. If I had done some parody song or some song with some shocking lyrics about Trump or about whatever, it'd probably be viral right now. But the fact that I sing about being stronger together and having unity, and I got criticized for the lyric, Can't You Feel Diversity? Someone actually posted a negative comment and said, what a stupid lyric, Can You Feel Diversity? I thought, really? You're going to take time out of your day to post a comment that you think the lyric, Can't You Feel Diversity, is stupid? It makes you want to throw your hands up. It does. You know, sometimes I think, well, then don't do a show. Then just don't even bother. If only 200 people a day are going to miss you, stop. Just don't do it. But I like it. It's what I do. And you can't get discouraged. You just got to promote more, and you got to get out there and spread the word more. And And you can't let it get you down. You got to just move forward with what you got. You can't hope for better. You just got to go with it. And you got to say, hey, at least 450 people watched it, not only 450. You've got to say, hey, at least my message is getting through to a few people, even if it's not getting through to a lot. You know, you gotta look on the positive side because there's just so much negative out there right now. You know, I look at Randy Rhoads, who arguably should be 10 times more famous than I am. I mean, she was on many more stations and the like. And every day on her live stream, she only gets about 120 viewers at a time, 130. Now, this is a woman, and same with Stephanie Miller. I watch Stephanie Miller. It's on her Facebook live stream, and she gets maybe 200 people. This woman is heard by millions, allegedly. She was just on the cover of LA Weekly as the leader of the resistance. It said that, the voice of the resistance, and I thought, wow, the voice of the resistance, and she's only getting 200 views. That's kind of sad. Now, ultimately, the video gets thousands of views, which is great, and the same with Randy. It gets passed around. But live viewers at any one time, it's only a couple hundred. And then you look over at Alex Jones's live stream of his Facebook, and it's got 20, 30, 40,000 people watching. And you wonder, Stephanie Miller, very smart. Randy Rhoads, very smart. You know, why aren't they getting the 20, the 30, the 40,000? It makes you wonder, why is everything crazy or bad popular? And the stuff that isn't crazy or bad, the stuff that's fun or entertaining or good, no one seems to want anymore. You literally can't give it away. I mean that. I'm giving away my music video. My song is on Spotify for everyone to stream. You don't even have to buy it. And I can barely give it away. GLAAD is busy giving gay or straight people awards. They haven't even contacted me about my video. You know? And the homecoming project, which I go and do in schools here at Long Beach Poly, and every time I go, I try to ask them for help, and then I never get any, and I just go do it myself. Now they're mad at me. They're saying, because I emailed them and said, well, you guys never help me, so I'm just going to do this on my own. And they're all, well, you know, you never reach out. You never do this. You never do that. I'm like, dudes, I've been doing it on my own now for 4 years without your help. And now they're mad at me. They're mad. They're like, well, it appears you don't want to deal with us. And I go, honey, you have it. Which just sort of proves my whole point, right? Here, this organization, the Homecoming Project, I send them 10 nice emails. Hey, I'd like to do this again. Or hey, I am doing this again. Or hey, would you like to help me do this again? I get no response. None. Then I send a tears email saying, you know, you guys are collecting all this money, not for profit, you know, tax-free. Because you say you're sending people out in the schools to do this. I have contacted you 10 times about going back. I get nothing from you. What good are you? Then I get an email back. 10 nice emails, nothing. One mean email, I get 3 emails back in a row. And they're furious. How dare you? Blah, blah, blah. And that sums up America. Make a song or a movie or a news broadcast or a podcast that is evil, that says terrible things, millions will listen. Do something that's nice or kind or civil, and you gotta fight to be heard.
Hey, do you need a great place to host your website? Well, all of my sites are hosted at Midphase. That's Midphase, M-I-D-P-H-A-S-E, midphase.com. If you need to host a website, they're the place to do it. It's easy and affordable, midphase.com.
Lord of Goshen, I am just sweating here with these 600-watt lights. Maybe I'll get a fan to circulate some of the air conditioner over here. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell. Almost out of here for this Monday. I didn't want to rant and rave today. Actually, I don't want to rant and rave anymore, period. But I'm noticing some very unsightly things about America through my own endeavors. I create a positive song with million-selling artists on it. It's hard to get it viewed. Had I created some sort of Randy Rainbow parody that's absurd or insulting to either Trump or to whatever, then it would go viral. And that's why we have Trump as president. We had Hillary Clinton, who was thought out, reasoned, as her tweet over the weekend, the GOP took a stab at her and said, oh, Hillary, you know, you keep criticizing our health care, but where's your plan? And Hillary tweeted back a link and said, here it is right here on my website. Feel free to borrow it if you need it. Because she always had a plan, okay? She had a plan. She did. Can you imagine if she had been at the G20? The conversations that would be being had. Can you imagine the progress that would be being made for America if Hillary Clinton were our president. The progress that could be being made for you. And that's really what I want to talk about now, is you, because we are lost. None of us wanted him there at the G20. None of us wanted him representing us. None of us wanted the outcome of the weekend. None. And yet, there it is. Congress, he's back. They're doing nothing. None of us wanted Ivanka to sit in for him. Is he going to be censured today by the Congress and told never to do that again? Nope. None of us wanted to hear that his son is a traitor and met with the Russians with the sole purpose of discrediting a former first lady, former secretary of state, and former senator. It was his mission to meet with our enemy, the Russians, to discredit an American secretary of state, senator, and first lady. And that's okay with everybody. I mean, with everybody in the Congress, that's just fine. He's not censured. He's not written up. You know, Twitter won't suspend his account. He has done the world damage. He is the most hurtful person on Twitter. He has done more damage than Milo or anybody else. And so I think Milo is right when Milo is now saying that Twitter is exhibiting a gross double standard by banning him, Milo, and not Donald Trump. They're absolutely right. That is a gross double standard, and no one will censure Twitter. No one will tell Twitter, cancel his account or reinstate all the ones you've canceled, period. No one will help us. And that's our problem. Donald Trump is not our problem. The problem is no one will help us because they want to see us fail. That's the one thing the right has going that they're truthful about. The right would rather see America fall than to help us out of this mess. Isn't that sad? Party before country, ideals before country. I mean, the right and the ignorant would rather see us fall than to stop what's going on. And that right there is just the worst statement I could leave you with today on this Monday, but it's the truth. Paul Ryan would rather see America fail than to see a Democrat succeed. Or independent, or a liberal of any kind. Any non-GOP member, Paul Ryan would rather America fail than to have a non-GOP idea go forward. Wow. Donald Trump would rather see America fail than to have one of the ideas moving forward not be his. It's sad. It's very sad, actually. And there's nothing we can do about it. And that's what's frustrating for me, and I'm sure for you. We can't fix this, you and I. That's why it's probably so... That's what was probably so hard for Einstein when he left Germany. He hated leaving Germany because he couldn't fix the problem. There wasn't a solution. This was a man about equations and solutions. We can figure this out. And then there wasn't a solution for Hitler because, as he said, there were too many variables. And the biggest variable in the Hitler equation that he couldn't understand was the people. Surely he wouldn't win the people over. Well, he didn't stop calling us Shirley. You know, surely he wouldn't, but he did. And that was confounding to Einstein, as it is to you, I'm sure. I'm sure you sit there and you watch Trump at this summit and you think, why is he even coming back to a job? Why isn't Congress right now drafting things to remove him? We, the people, by a majority now, want him removed. A majority of people are for impeachment. We, the people, want him removed, and they won't do it. And meanwhile, every day, he does something worse. Well, you know, I talked about, you know, you're getting old when. Why don't you email feedback@reallycarell.com, since you didn't call 213-985-3527, and tell me, you know, you're getting old when, because... One of the ways I know I'm getting old is I can see through Donald Trump perfectly. I can see it all. And I know exactly what he wants, where he's going, and I know that he's going to get it. You know, I'm old enough to know that Trump is not going to be stopped by this Congress. Isn't that sad? So unless next year we elect an entirely new Congress, we're stuck with him and whatever he does. And if you don't like it, there's the door. There's the USA door. Don't let the immigration door hit you where the good Lord splits you. That's how they feel. I am Carell. Join me each and every day right here at reallycarell.com and be who you want to be so long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Welcome back to you all. Mwah.
You're listening to The Carell Show. Carell.
I met you in the summer to my heartbeat sound. We fell in love as the leaves turn brown. And we could be together, baby, as long as skies are blue. You act so innocent now, but you lied so soon.
It is the Carellcast. I am Carell. So very glad you are joining me. All right, you know how I have been going off and well, that's what I've been doing for 20 years. But you know I've been going off and pontificating about how there is no left. And that is not entirely true, because there is some left. It's just not being heard enough or loudly enough. But someone who certainly is not for lack for trying and has established their own online network with the most watched online news in the world, which is quite a little thing to boast. You know him from the Young Turks. He is here with us now. He is Cenk Uygur. Welcome.
Hey, Krill. How are you, man?
How am I? Well, you know, if we're not doing platitudes and being honest, I'm pissed. I am pissed as hell that our president's about to talk about something that should have been over and done with a long time ago, that or never done in the first place, that revisionist history is happening left and right and everywhere front of center, that now it's Obama's fault for George Bush's illegal occupation and destruction of a country. I'm not all that happy this week. How are you?
Well, so I've been pissed for 12 years.
Me too. And so I've been, like, you know, and remember when...
But, you know, we try to handle it in two ways. One is significant anger, and the other is comedy. So
yeah,
we do a little bit of both. And then and when you talk about George Bush, we've been playing old George Bush clips on the show all week. You forget how stupid that guy was. Like,
oh my God, no! He was such a moron. And when you go back, and you know, someone played something from him the other day, and I said to myself, you know what? Say what you will about Obama, disappointing, whatever. At least we don't have to listen to that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, in some ways, though, as we were getting screwed, it was somewhat entertaining.
Well, as getting screwed really should be, if you're going to be.
Well, if you're going to get screwed,
you might as well enjoy it, right? I mean,
right. Whereas Obama kind of, you know, it's both his speaking style and his governing style, and I think, unfortunately, his mode of operating overall, which is lull you to sleep.
Right.
It's okay. I had placards that said change, and everything.
And then we didn't.
Now.
What do you know? And then nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, here we are, and we are talking with Cenk Uygur from the Young Turks. And by the way, the Young Turks are coming to the Bay Area, and you need to go see them. It's going to be quite a stage show. We're going to give away tickets. It is Saturday, July 12th at the Regency Ballroom in San Francisco. We'll tell you how to go. You know, what really scares me is the revisionist history going on and the lack of media accountability. The media played a huge role in the run-up to Iraq. They've accepted no responsibility for their role in it. And now that Iraq has turned out exactly as the people who said it, that knew this, even Colin Powell, who said, you break it, you buy it, there's going to be a vacuum. I think it was Kerry or Lieberman who said it's going to break into three pieces, and it did. And you, being from Turkey, I don't want to say, I know you've been here since 8, but I mean, we've always known that the Kurds in the north, the Sunni and the Shia, and that, you know, that they're going to fight if they can. And so there's no surprises here, except apparently to the media.
Yeah, so it was Joe Biden who had always said that it was going to split into three, and the other people who said it were the Young Turks. We've literally been saying it for 12 years now, and even before the war began, we're like, do not stir that hornet's nest.
Right.
Stir the hornet's nest. You're going to have those three ethnicities fight each other. And by the way, the guys who are going to win are going to be the most extreme, most radical. The biggest beheaders will be the victors.
And right? Can I just say I hate the name, because I used to watch ISIS on TV. Oh, Zephyr winds which blow on high, lift me now so I can fly. And this is nothing like the ISIS I knew. I'm just saying. She was a beautiful young superhero that followed Shazam. It was not the name of someone that now... Oh, and I love this. This is really good. The seeds of 9/11 have been planted in with ISIS. Well, who the hell dug up that soil and made it fertile? I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it's amazing, because just last night, Megyn Kelly was the first person to ask Dick Cheney to his face, hey, wait a minute, aren't you the guy who screwed up Iraq in the first place? You said there was going to be weapons of mass destruction. You said... that we were going to be greeted as liberators, and she ran down this laundry list, and I was like, wow, it took a Fox News host to say it. What is wrong with the mainstream media? And I'll tell you, it's because, A, they love money in politics. They, all of the television ads that get bought by politicians get bought on television, right?
Right.
And they make billions of dollars off it, so they love this corrupt system. And B, they've been cowed by the likes of Rush Limbaugh and Fox News into thinking, oh my God, we're so liberal, so we should never, ever be liberal. Instead, we should, you know, just give right-wing talking points
Let's talk about that for a minute, because you are now a player in network news. You're an online network, and that is valid in today's day and age. It's not something to be dismissed. A lot of people get their information that way and through you. And Cenk Uygur is my guest with the Young Turks. I'm very happy to speak with you, by the way. I've watched you for a long time. You were the only person that seemed to get as angry about everything as I was. And, you know, I was been on KGO Radio 10-plus years now, minus a year off for saying F. Joe the Plumber, who... they now want to book on my show, and I hope he comes so I can tell him F him to his face, and because he's an ass hat. And so, you know, for years I was called a traitor. Why don't you take your gay ass to Iraq and see how quickly you last there? You don't support our troops. All this ridiculous stuff that was hurled at me or Cindy Sheehan. I just talked to Cindy. I said, Cindy, for years you wanted to ask the president why, and now you've gotten your answer for no damn reason at all. And what about that? I mean, we've got MSNBC, which allegedly is the left. We've got CNN, which doesn't know what. It's without a soul now. And then we know what Fox is. There really is no media landscape for mainstream progressive views based in science, fact, and truth. Except yours, basically.
Yeah, well, look, the good news is next month our TYT network is going to hit 2 billion views.
Wow.
So they left the field totally wide open to us, and if they don't want 60% of the country that's reasonable, logical, progressive, sensible, great, we'll take them.
And you are proof that people can be redeemed. No offense, but you were religious. You're not now. I'm an atheist, and I was discussing this with Daniel Radcliffe. We're both sort of radical atheists now. If someone says, you know, God bless or whatever, I'm like, there is no God. I'm so in your face about it now. I can't take it because they've just shoved it down my throat being gay for so long that I can't even take it anymore. And so you went from religious to atheist, and you went from basically Republican, moderate, to a progressive. I know you've gone over this many times, but why? What caused such a paradigm shift in someone to go from two completely ideological viewpoints to another?
Okay, so first of all, I love when religious people get offended if you question their religion. You guys said we're going to burn in hell for eternity.
Yes!
I think we should be the ones that are offended.
I like when they say special privileges for gays. I say, no, that's called equality. Special privileges would be something like wanting to not pay taxes. Oh, like churches.
Exactly. So what made me change that religion? That's easy. I read the Quran and I read the Bible. And I thought, oh my God, do people know what's in this?
That's what I always tell people. They said, why are you an atheist? I go, have you read the book?
No, look, if you want to do, like they say, oh, you guys do atheist propaganda or something. If you really want to do atheist propaganda, you'd hand out a Bible at every street corner.
By the way, for my late husband, Andrew, I was with him 12 years, and when he passed, I changed laws here so I could sue for wrongful death. But Andrew was an atheist, and we traveled a lot, as you probably do, and every hotel we went to, we took the Bible. And so in my house, I have over 300 Bibles, and people come over and they say, why do you have all these Bibles? And I would always tell them, Andrew would say that he must remove dangerous propaganda from areas where children could get it. And so it was his mission to remove Bibles from hotels because he didn't want kids finding them and believing anything they might read in it. And Cenk Uygur is my guest from the Young Turks. They're going to be in San Francisco. You need to go see them at the Regency Ballroom on Saturday, July 12th. We've got 5 pairs of tickets to give away, and we're going to tell you how to do that next. But right now, I don't want to waste any of that time doing a promotion because we've got him for just a few more minutes. It's good business for us. It's good business for you that what's going on is going on. But you, like me, are an American through and through. And this hurts. Doesn't this hurt? It hurts to see what we did to the Iraqi people. It hurts that everybody that said this was going to happen was right. I mean, there's no vindication for me or for you here in saying, ha ha, look, we were right about Iraq. It doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, when Glenn Beck admitted he was wrong and that we were right all along, that felt a tiny bit good, if I have to be honest.
Well, come on, it's Glenn Beck and you guys. But I mean, just as an American citizen who doesn't know Glenn Beck, nor should any American citizen know Glenn Beck, I'm just saying. But it doesn't feel good.
The cost in treasure and blood have been enormous. And I often say on the show, look, I don't know any host that keeps saying as often as I do, I hope I'm wrong. And I said it before the Iraq War. I said it throughout the Iraq War. I said, look, here's what's going to happen. It's going to devolve. There's going to be a civil war. There's no connection to 9/11. And I hope I'm wrong and it doesn't go south. I hope I'm wrong and there isn't a bloody civil war. But it turns out we were right about those things. The question is anybody going to listen going forward? My guess is that 2 weeks...
Well, we're sending people. We're sending
beating the war drums on Iran.
Yeah, and we're sending people. We're sending special force. In other words, we're sending people back. I don't care if it's one. Someone said, "Oh, we're only going to probably send 100 special forces." I said, "That's 100 sons, daughters, brothers, sisters." You know, don't act like 100 people is nothing. That's something. You know, and that now we've spent all the time talking this. There's so many other things in the news. The LGBT issues, which the right on Fox News is having a field day with right now, particularly transgenders. They seem to be the new punching bag since it's coming a little non-fashionable to, you know, bash the gays. Now they're going after the transgenders. The right has been going after Hillary on this book tour, just pounding her. Look, Hillary didn't believe in same-sex marriage. I'm a queer and I don't care. She's on the right side of it now and that's all I care about.
Yeah, look, it took Obama and Hillary Clinton and all those Democrats a long time to get to the right place. Obama was at the right place in 94, and then he regressed, and then he progressed, because they're politicians. They're politicians. But anytime we get a victory, I say, that's great, I'll take it, and I won't ask any questions.
Oh, I always demand more. People are mad. Yesterday, when Obama signed the executive order about federal employees, I said, why doesn't he just pass ENDA? Why doesn't he get that through? In 30 states, I can still be fired for being gay. In 12, I can still be arrested under sodomy laws. People act like we've got to take action about what's happening to gays in Russia. Well, how about what's happening to gays in Tennessee? It's still not a rosy picture in this country to be openly gay. Trust me on that. Before we go, let me ask you, is there hope at the end of this tunnel? Do you think, because I just told someone, if a Republican wins, heaven forbid, but if a Republican wins in the next general, then we're going back to Iraq and we're going to war again and we're not going to end war. It's going to continue. And if you give them a Republican House or Senate, then God knows what's going to happen to social programs. How crucial is this next election to keep America from falling into horrific despair?
Well, I think there's tremendous hope, but I don't think it's necessarily in short-term elections or political parties or politicians. The most important thing is to get money out of politics.
Agreed.
If you don't get money out of politics, both sides, Democrats and Republicans, are going to serve their donors. 95% of the time, the guy with more money wins the election.
Do you support public financing? Do you support public financing?
Not only do I support public financing, I started a PAC called Wolfpack just to make sure that we can get an amendment that says you must do public financing and you must end corporate personhood and got to get the money out of politics, because then you can have hope. Then you can have politicians going back to doing the right things, which we had for 50 years in this country, by the way.
Right.
Before they deregulated again and money swamped and corporations came in. You want to talk about special rights. Gay people don't have special rights. They don't even have equality yet, as you pointed out.
This is why you need to go to the TYT Network and watch the Young Turks. And you need to go see them Saturday, July 12th in San Francisco at the Regency Ballroom. Cenk Uygur, I could talk to you forever. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I am Carell. Don't go anywhere except to my website, iamcarell.com. Download the app. It's free, just like me, child. I listen to the Carell Cast. Well, how do you do that? There's an app for that, honey. That's right. That's what you can tell your friends. Every time they say, oh, I love Carell. I used to love him. How do I listen to him? Say, there is an app for that, and you can get it at any app store that you want. It's the Carell Cast, and it's perfectly free. Get it.
Goodbye.
It is the Karelcast. I am Karelcast 814-0620. So very glad you are joining me. I hope you do something this weekend to get rid of the myth. Okay? I hope if you've got the myth, like I do, the Middle Eastern fatigue, that you do something this weekend to get rid of it. And then we can come refreshed and renewed next week with new eyes to the problem. I'm going to be doing KGO Radio San Francisco. And just a programming note there about the Karel Club. You know what? I've almost been begging. I really have been. It's like, you know, crowdsourcing, it's sort of begging. And this is the same way. It kind of is. But I've been going out to the people, to you, and saying, please go to my website, iamkarel.com. And join the club, because I really need the revenues to keep going and to build if I am to do with this show what I need to do. And as that's been happening, other things have been unfolding in the media. And for those of you that follow radio media, my boss, my direct boss, and his boss at KGO have both been either fired or resigned as of yesterday. Ron Skarsica resigned. Steve Sklenar left. I don't know if he resigned or whatever. So my immediate boss and his boss are gone. The guy that was in the Howard Stern movie, Private Parts, as the pig vomit character. I mean, he wasn't in the movie. He was the real life character, I think, that Howard called pig vomit. Not a nice name. Is coming to the station to be the head. And he was the head of talk at another station. Does that mean it's going all talk again? Does that mean... We don't know what it means. And it could mean that I'm out of a job. That's what it could mean. Every time a new program director comes in, they want to tailor things to their way. Whether you do a good show or not doesn't matter. You know, a new program director came in at KFI. I was gone within 5 months. It happens. And so now more than ever, I need you to go and join the Karel Club at iamkarel.com. I wanted 1,500 new members over 30 to 60 days, and that would give me enough to fund the Karelcast through the year, to fund it, you know, to pay me and to pay for, you know, the stuff that needs to be paid for to do the show Monday through Friday. I've gotten 15 members. I need 1,500. I know the support for liberal radio is lagging, or maybe I just don't have any listeners. I don't know. Whatever. I just know that the changes in media continue. The changes at KGO are very real, and I don't know what's going to happen there. But I know I'm here with you, and as long as y'all keep joining the club, and Farm Fresh Flowers and Buena Vista and PowerMax and others keep coming to the table, GCN and CRN and KGOE and all of that, then guess what? And by the way, another announcement, since we're doing that today, I have just booked a date in Monterey on Friday, August 1st. Friday, August 1st, I will be in Monterey at Planet Gemini at 7 o'clock. That's Friday, August 1st. I believe I'm trying to book Jambalaya for Thursday, July 31st in Eureka. So I'm trying to do Eureka the 31st of July and then Monterey the 1st of August. Hopefully Jambalaya will get back to me. I've put out an email to them. So those are a couple programming notes there. San Jose, I'm going to try to come to you ASAP. Finding a venue has been harder. And now that me and Maureen were going to do a comedy show through KGO, now the person that wanted to organize that is now gone or will be July 15th. So that goes back to ground zero again. So that's the world of radio. That's the world of media. As you heard me talk about it with Cenk Uygur from Young Turks about there being no left. This is one of the reasons they had to go online, and now they get a billion views. They're not hurting for cash. But, you know, the fact is that even they, you know, they were on television. The show is great, the Young Turks, MSNBC, Cenk was on. Now, you know, now he's online, and that's great, and it's legitimate, and it's real. But it took funding. And, you know, I'm making that transition as well, and I could use your help because the left media is now going online. That's where left-wing media now is. When I say there's no left, I guess I mean in terrestrial radio and television. There is a huge community of the left online, a huge one. And so maybe that's how the left connects now, because I don't want to say we're smarter, but we do tend to be more computer savvy and that sort of stuff. So, you know, maybe. Well, I just know it's there. There is stuff online that is the left. And that's good. At least it is somewhere. All right, it is Friday. Do go out and relieve yourself of the mess, the Middle Eastern fatigue. You can find me, at least this weekend, I know for sure, at KGO Saturday and Sunday, 9 to midnight, and Sunday, 7 to 10. And then who knows in the future, because it's radio, meaning on KGO, because we're getting a new boss, and so who knows what that means. I could be on more, I could be on less, who knows. But Monday through Friday, I'll continue to be here with you so long as you join the club for $25 or more. And when I say or more, if you're a rich progressive, you've got 10 grand sitting around, feel free. I am Carell. Get the app. It is free. IamCarell.com is where you get it.
You're listening to The Carell Show.